A program about your health, for your health.
Good morning and welcome to Fitter Happier. Indoor mould and dampness can cause more than just unpleasant odours. Damage to buildings as well as a wide variety of health problems including asthma attacks, rashes and respiratory infections amongst others can be caused by mould and dampness. Joined with us on the record this morning, we've got Yala Downs, a scientific officer at the Department of Health, to talk to us about the dangers of mould and dampness and how to protect our homes. Welcome, Yala, and thanks for joining us this morning.
No, thanks for having me.
So we all know that mould can cause damage to our homes and household belongings, but what can it do to our health?
Okay, so the reaction to mould is basically an allergic one. So symptoms will be similar to other allergic reactions like hay fever. So you mentioned a few earlier, but others could be wheezing, sneezing, runny nose. If you've got asthma or bronchitis or other lung diseases, you might find that that gets worse. Some people aren't allergic at all and have no reactions whatsoever, and some people can be extremely hypersensitive and experience severe reactions such as rash, brain fog, fever, nausea and fatigue, but that is quite rare. The other thing that you could find is that you colds and flus and other illnesses that you do get tend to affect you more and takes you longer to recover.
So you've just mentioned a bit of the symptoms that we should kind of be aware of, which is, you know, having a fever, colds, and those kind of more dire symptoms towards mould and dampness in the house. How and where does mould grow?
So mould likes to grow in cool, damp, dark and poorly ventilated spaces. So most commonly under carpet, behind furniture that's pushed up against walls, in cupboards, around bathtubs, could be on ceilings or walls where there's a leak above in the roof or down the walls, especially in corners. And sometimes you might find it around windows or even actually on the glass of the windows itself. I should preface all that by saying there is always mould in the air. We're breathing in mould all the time. The mould levels in the air fluctuate, but this generally doesn't cause us any harm. It's only when mould starts accumulating indoors and we're subjected to it for long periods of time that it starts to become both a problem for your house and your health.
So I want to know a little bit more about what are some of the common sources of excess moisture growing around our household?
Okay, so the obvious ones are leaking roofs and windows, leaking water pipes, your pipes underneath your bathroom sink or bath, may be a cause of moisture, flooding incidents if you have a damaged ceiling, poorly sealed bathroom tiles. You might find that the water seeps through the tiles and through to the other side. Not ventilating your home properly, especially when you're doing things like cooking. Cooking produces a lot of moisture. Doing laundry, having showers, or you dry your clothes inside. Indoor plants also give off moisture. So if you've got a large number of plants inside and finding that you get getting quite a lot of moisture or condensation inside, you might want to put some of them outside. And the other thing that happens is we lose moisture when we sleep. So during the night, you might lose up to 200 mil of moisture through just breathing and sweating. And if your bedroom is poorly ventilated, you might find that you get condensation on your windows during the night. So if that's happening night after night, you're getting that moisture build up on your windows, that's an excellent source of moisture for mould to start growing.
Can you tell us a little bit more about what is hidden mould? Because I found it really fascinating what you were sort of talking about, that, you know, we as humans can sort of secrete 200 mils of water within our sleep as well. And obviously our indoor plants have moisture retention in them as well, and bathrooms, laundry and in the kitchen as well. Can you explain to us a little bit more about hidden mould?
Okay, well, hidden mould is basically exactly as it sounds. It's mould that's growing in a place that you can't see and you can be unaware of it until you start noticing the musty odour, or it starts spreading so far that it becomes completely obvious. So these areas can be behind skirting boards, in ceiling spaces, at the back of walk-in robes, you know, that coat that you've got hidden right at the back that you rarely wear, but you get it out and then you'll find it's covered in mould. And the problem with hidden mould is it's difficult to locate and then also remove. So it may be that you'll have to engage a professional mould removal company to come in and remove skirting boards or get up into the roof spaces to make sure that all the mould is removed properly and doesn't come back. And that's why hidden mould is dangerous and also much more expensive and difficult to remove.
So for listeners out there who are concerned about moulding issues, for example, when should they sort of take action in getting rid of mould and dampness in a room? And when sort of is the best way or best sort of means to call out for professional help in need to remove that mould?
Sure. So first of all, you need to remove the source of water or moisture that's created the problem in the first place. So if there's a roof leak, that needs to be repaired. If there's a leaking pipe, that needs to be replaced. If the bathroom exhaust fan is no longer working, that needs to be fixed. And most mould can be dealt with easily and quickly by the homeowner if it's noticed quickly enough. So mould only takes about 2 to 3 days after water damage occurs for it to take hold and start to become a problem. So you really need to act on it straight away. So if there is a big water ingress problem, so you've got a damaged roof, it really needs to be jumped on very quickly. It can become very overwhelming very quickly and become very damaging and expensive. So the sooner you act, the better. When you are cleaning mould yourself, wear a mask and gloves and wet the mould down first. You don't want to dry scrub mould because this will just release the particles into the air, which you are then going to breathe. You don't actually need any harsh chemicals. Everyone I speak to is like, oh, bleach, got to get the bleach. No, you don't need bleach. You don't really need anything. Just warm soapy water will do. It needs to be removed. It doesn't need to be dead to be able to be removed. So really just elbow grease, get in there, scrub it all off. And if you are concerned that, you know, there might be invisible mould that's extending beyond what you can actually see, you might want to wipe the area down with a vinegar solution, about 80% white vinegar and 20% water. Leave it on for about 20 minutes and then wipe it off and make sure the area is completely dry. If there is fabrics that are damaged by mould, such as clothes, shoes, these can be washed in hot water again or in a vinegar solution. The unfortunate thing though is some soft furnishings like couches and mattresses might not be able to be salvaged depending on how bad the mould is. If there's just a little bit of surface mould, that might be treated. But if the mould has started growing through the mattress or through the couch, it just may have to be ditched, unfortunately. The other question you asked was professional help, is that
yes,
right?
Yep.
Okay. So when professional help is needed is when the mould growth is extensive. So if it extends more than about 3 square metres or if it's in multiple rooms, that suggests that it's become an endemic problem throughout the house and you might need professional help. And the other time that I would suggest getting in professional help is if you, the homeowner or the occupant, has severe asthma or a chronic lung condition, or if you have a severe allergic reaction to mould, then you probably should not be involved in the cleaning of it at all, and you might want to get in a cleaning service or a mould professional.
So after that mould is sort of removed, is there anything we need to do to sort of prevent ourselves from any further damage or any dangers to ourselves?
Okay, so the best thing you can do is on days like today, keep your home warm, well ventilated and light mold doesn't like light. So bright and light and happy and well ventilated. Make sure you clean spots of mold when you first see them. Make sure you use exhaust fans when you shower and cook. And if you get condensation occurring in your room overnight, you might want to make sure your room is heated. It doesn't need to be a blast of heat, just a low level of heat, just to make sure your room is kept warm. Or you may want to leave windows open on breezy, nice nights, not when it's raining outside like it is at the moment, but on nice nights you might want to open a window or open doors. Some people like to sleep with their door closed, which can exacerbate the situation. So if you might get a cross breeze through the house, that might help.
And lastly, Yala, where can people go for further information?
Okay, so on our website, we have a fact sheet on mould, and we also have a guideline for cleaning mould, which you can download. If you are a homeowner, then you can use it. If your landlord is responsible for cleaning up after damage, then you can give it to your landlord or property manager. So that's at www.healthywa.wa.gov.au. The other place you can go is your attendant is your local government's environmental health officer. If it's an ongoing issue and your landlord hasn't been able to get on top of it, then your local government may be able to give you some more advice.
Thanks so much for joining us on Fitter Happier, Yala. We appreciate your time and all your expertise about mould and dampness in the home as well.
Great. Thanks for having me.
That was Yala Downs, a scientific officer at the Department of Health, speaking with us about the dangers of mould and dampness and ways in which you can protect your home, especially during these months, these winter months where we experience a lot of increased moisture and things like that. And also, we talked a little bit about sort of interestingly how much we secrete as human beings in our sleep as well, and of course indoor plants and how much moisture that they secrete, and of course kitchen bathrooms are also areas that need attention. And for more information on that, as Yala said, make sure to check out the Healthy WA Mould and Dampness page, that is through the Department of Health.